A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When they heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, if not most of us, appreciate being taken aside and confided in. When someone places their confidence in us, much is affirmed. For one thing, we are being affirmed in our ability to be personally trusted. This is particularly meaningful when the one placing us in his or her confidence is someone we see as authority, as someone we admire and respect. In this simple act, there is a sharing of power. In that moment is an awareness that we are more like peers. This person feels safe with us. As our gospel passage begins today, Jesus is among a group of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. Indeed, we know that James and John's mother is among the group. To use our 21st century language, we can imagine that Jesus is a kind of celebrity in the group. So one can imagine the growing sense of pride this mother has as she observes her sons being called aside by this remarkable master, teacher, healer. Does she see him nod to them, then direct his head in a motion indicating they are to come closer? Perhaps she saw him use a simple hand gesture that caught the eye of two or three of the 12, who then passed on to the others as they were all being summoned and called aside. Whatever it was, she noticed their immediately deference to his wish. Perhaps she watched as he spoke to them, unable to hear, but she saw their heads nod, their glances to each other exchange as he spoke. The dynamic clearly indicating he was confiding in them. At the same time, for the 12, as this confidence is being shared, they grow in their sense of belonging. We know they were not grasping the understanding of Jesus' words. But in their minds, once again, Jesus is explaining something to them, not to the others. Though they do not fully understand, they realize that, obviously, he senses they are getting some of it because he calls them aside. He trusts them. This kingdom of God, this reign of God, where the poor, lowly, hungry, thirsty, merciful, single-hearted, peacemakers, and persecuted ones are blessed. They're being invited into. They have seen the truth of it in him. No, not completely getting it, but they are drawn nonetheless to learn more, to give all they have and are. James and John's mother knows her sons. She knows what they have walked away from. She knows they are committed to this teacher, this master. She too believes he is preaching a new way of being, but like the 12, she too does not grasp what he's been saying, especially for these last three chapters. Whoever makes himself lowly, becoming like this child, is of greatest importance in that heavenly reign. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Many who are first shall come last, and the last shall come first. Perhaps they thought of themselves as the poor, the hungry, the thirsty. After all, compared to the Romans, they were less than, weren't they? Compared to the authorities of the temple and the Sadducees, weren't they the lowly, the persecuted, never quite making the cutoff for the necessary holiness to be considered first? So now, here is their chance to belong to the reigning group. When James, John, and their mother approach Jesus to ask for the top two places, they simply put voice to what the others are hoping, to at last be first. There would have been no indignation from the others if they had not been harboring the same desire. Jesus seems to respond with the same thing he says to the Samaritan woman at the well. You do not know what you are thirsty for. You do not know what you are asking. I am the living water. The cup I drink of quenches the source of your thirst. You think the source is the need to be served, the need to have power and lording over others in authority, sitting at the right hand and the left hand. Greatness in God's reign is to serve. Your aspiration to greatness in the kingdom of God is to aspire to be servant. Aspiring to be first in the reign of God is to aspire to be slave. You do not know what you are asking. Not you, James, John, not your mother, not any of the rest of you 10. You are thirsty. But only drinking from this cup of service will your thirst be quenched. I have come to serve. I am the living water. I have singled you out, confided in you, trust you, because you are my peers. I am one of you, and you are one with me and with my Heavenly Father. You too can heal, can forgive, can be mercy. These are the right and left hands of the kingdom of God. Come, drink from my cup, and thirst no more.